neighbor. And the way I've seen it is that the system is trying to cleave us away from one another and not uniting against any kind of common sense actions to, you know, sometimes real threats here. I mean, we certainly have a virus. It certainly is infectious. We know about that. It's certainly been spreading throughout the population. And yet you look at the numbers and you look at hospitalization rates, which would appear to be not that big of a deal. It really is. And yet everyone's talking emergency. Emergency drips off the lips so easily in today's hyper-frightened culture. And we have to be smarter than this. And in some cases, I think we have to start turning the shame machine to a different direction. All right. And joining me right now is Mr. X, community activist. And gosh, we like talking with you a lot. How you doing this morning, Ed? Good to have you back on.
Well, Bill, I'm doing well. I shouldn't say that well because I'm frustrated with the outcomes of watching this system that they've put in place work with us and just seeing the ridiculous reactions of the population, like these people turning businesses in, doing this, doing that.
And we were talking about that earlier this morning, Ed, and I just wanted to let people express kind of their frustration about this. And there are many people that are operating under a truly pants-wetting hysteria, and I get that. And Governor Brown, I think, has taken great advantage of this for political advantage and great political power, I think. And there must be some more common sense thinking than what we're experiencing right now. I think you'd agree with that.
You know, Bill, I look at things, I break them down, I look at them very simplistically, but very realistically. And a couple of years ago, if you remember, what were we doing? In all common, everybody, we were wearing masks.
Because of smoke.
2 years ago.
Yeah, because of smoke.
Because of the smoke. And they were telling us this was the new normal. This was the new normal. This had to be, you had to prepare for this. You got to understand that from now on, this is the new normal. We're going to build. We're going to invest and build.
The heck with what's going on in at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. We're going to have to, what was it? Was it Senator Merkley that talked about constructing almost smoke shelters for us here?
Was it Senator Merkley, Pam Marsh, all of these people take this attitude, well, this is the new normal, this is what we have to do. But in the background, what they were doing was the methodology to keep us wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why would they want to destroy our environment as we live in it and hurt our health?
I think what it has to do, Ed, is more about inculcating obedience and depersonalization, almost a de-socializing kind of bent.
It's to turn one person against another, or one person or groups of people into other, and create a level of fear. And fear comes from ignorance in most parts. Most things, all these people that are so scared of this virus, start learning about it. Don't be ignorant. Start learning what it is, and then you will have an understanding of what it is you're actually fighting, so that when the oppressive people that are issuing propaganda come to take away your freedoms and your rights and your liberties and try to overthrow this country, basically, is what they're doing. The reality of it comes down to is you can have a weapon against that and keep this country for your children, your grandchildren, and everything else, instead of being a participant in this ridiculous thing. And when I say that, I don't say it lightly. It's an actuality, Bill, because I'm going to go over this in a way always, so people want to just say, shut up, Ed, if I have to.
Okay.
But the reality is this disease, okay, this thing that we're fighting, by the law, the governor had to have a causative agent, okay, an infection.
And what's a causative agent then? Ed, what's a causative agent again? I just want to make sure people know that.
A causative agent is the specific of what the emergency is based upon. And the emergency was based upon several concepts. One, not to overwhelm our healthcare system. Two, that there was an infectious agent coming into our area that could be devastating. Okay?
Yep.
Now, that infectious agent, very simply, is not COVID-19. The infectious agent is SARS-CoV-2. Now, what I do is I just look at what they do to misinform the public and take the numbers. Like I heard you today. Yesterday, we talk about this stuff. The numbers tell the story. The realities of all of these things tell the actual story. And when you sit back and you look at what possible rationalization could you have to shut down and do harm economically to everybody like this? Why? You know, so start suspecting, but increase your intelligence level by, instead of reacting and calling OSHA on one of our local businesses, look at the reality of why are you making this call? It's based upon, oh, they without a mask, they could be spreading COVID-19. Well, we, for generations, hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, we've all been spreading coronavirus. Okay, coronavirus is a common cold virus. In this situation, if you read and understand it, it's the novel coronavirus SARS-CoV-2. And the reality to it is that the numbers show the proofs of this when you really look at it. When they look at the infections, they talk about presumptive cases. Okay, you have a presumptive case. Then you start reading. There's three different levels of testing. One is where they do the nasal swab. Well, that tells you if you've had an infection that your body is battling. That doesn't tell you you have SARS-CoV-2, this deadly virus. So now we have an emergency and now we're going to fine businesses for nothing more than doing what they've done for generations, which is supply us the food we need, which is to create an environment of our economic stability, to have all of these things go on, but yet you sit there and you look at it and some people get into it, oh, let's fine them for these people not wearing a mask. Let's take a photograph and let's send it to OSHA. Let's do this. Let's do that.
Yeah, what is not to, I mean, this is such Nazi and Soviet Russia behavior. It really is, Ed. And I don't think that these people even themselves realize what is going on. And here is the push. We know that what's going on is wrong. We understand this. I've been explaining this morning how, the hospitalization rates of SARS-CoV-2, this is confirmed CDC. I'm looking at the state numbers for Oregon. And, of course, they always try to fake you out by just adding them all in from the very beginning. And so you're looking, oh, my gosh, the hospitals must be getting crushed. The hospitals are still in financial trouble right now. And SARS-CoV-2, the hospitalization rate in the state of Oregon as of the end of last Friday was 2.3 per 100,000. That's about 100 people in the hospital. I'm just giving you, they're throwing at you. And there's almost 7,000 hospital beds. Ed, by any reading of that number, there is not a sickness emergency in this state.
Well, and that's the whole thing, Bill, when you do this, and when you get into reading all of the different things, this, what I have here is a brief report, and this is the OHA, Oregon Health Authority, brief report, COVID-19 epidemic trends and projections in Oregon, okay? And what this does is tell about modeling reports. Now, get the key word there is modeling reports.
Oh, that's like global warming reports on modeling, right?
Oh, my goodness, it's unbelievable. But they go through all of the ways that they model this, and they have three different versions of modeling it. They do transmission continues as is, transmission decreases, transmission increases. Those are the three categories that they do. Because they say, we modeled three future scenarios by making different assumptions about transmission. And this is based on data through July 2nd, since the reopening on May 15th. But in the conclusion part of it is the most important thing when you read this, okay? And it was just amazing to me because we're living and some of these people out there, when you go out and you think, oh, you're going to call OSHA, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, what are you participating in? Because here's the reality. The model estimates that as of July 2nd, there have been a total of 52,400 cumulative infections in Oregon. 80% forecast interval, 44,800 to 73,000. But, and I say but again, but only 10,200 have been diagnosed according to our local data. So now what does that tell you about their models?
The models don't match reality.
The models don't match reality at all. Where do we live? Do we live in a model?
No, we live we live in the state of Oregon. We live in the real world, and yet we're looking at modeling driving policy, and that's what's important. So, okay, Ed, I only have a couple minutes left here with you, okay? All right. So I wanted to touch on what you believe is the proper pressure leverage point, because there is a delusion. And, you know, we have a virus. Yes, for some people in populations, it can be very bad for them. We know that. We've talked about that and would never not want to protect sensitive populations. That being said, though, what is happening here with our local business community and the conflicts and the persons being and people being turned against people, et cetera, and the snitching culture and all the rest of it, this is very serious. And this is why I was so angry last week when Jackson County took that weak willed vote, in my opinion, 2-1 against declaring that Jackson County essentially had complied with the emergency, and we had responded to the emergency, and it was time to negotiate. In fact, Governor Brown even talked about this. Is the county still the best leverage point for people and common sense to regain a foothold in the state of Oregon?
I believe that it is, Bill, because I believe. And I learned and I was taught from the beginning many years ago, our entire national system is based on a county by county interaction. Okay. That's the reality. The county is the local health authority. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's part of the entire system of reporting. That's why the law that Kate Brown used to implement this emergency had the statement in it that says it shall the geographic area of the emergency. And then it said, such area shall be no larger than necessary as to effectively respond.
And Jackson and Josephine County and most of Southern Oregon counties have by far responded more than adequately to what's going on.
That's the thing. So the key thing is that give support in a way, because we have to start doing this. And I want to go to something very quickly. I got this morning in my inbox, but I'll say it like this. On Sunday, the News Review printed an introduction to John Powell's letter to Governor Brown.
I have that letter, by the way. I have that letter from Commissioner Colleen Roberts. I have that. I have that.
Just to validate, you know, so people understand, the letter opens up with what I started out with, okay? And it says, Dear Governor Brown, this letter is a request to reconsider our current Oregon public health measures to address the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic.
Hey, Ed, let me pick this up because my voice will cut through more on the air right now than yours.
Okay.
Interrupt me when you feel like it. After 3 months, it's becoming clear to many of us who follow epidemiological data and global research about this virus that the severity of COVID-related illness does not warrant the current Oregon public health measures. As clinicians, we see the harm inflicted on our communities from this public health policy. Continued non-selective social isolation and restrictions violate medicine's uncertainty principle to first do no harm. Public health messaging endorsed by policymakers that all citizens conform to their recommendations to avoid killing loved ones is untrue and cruel. Rising numbers of COVID cases illustrate that what we are doing is not working. Data demonstrating falling infection fatality rates, emergency department visits, and hospitalizations due to COVID, coupled with age severity differentials, demand a more targeted and sustainable public health approach. Let us start by restructuring the pandemic around our lives and not our lives around COVID. It's really fascinating, Ed, and I think what I'm going to do is post this today, if you don't mind. All right?
In other words, Bill, you and I are not alone in understanding this because we've read. We stayed away from an ignorance coefficient that takes us into a panic mode of calling OSHA on somebody. And what you said earlier, these people should be shamed. And I'm done with these fear-mongering tactics of all of this. Let's look at the reality. Our government, our system of government is rule of consent by the governed.
And that consent, as far as I'm concerned, is gone with this matter, Ed. Well, it seriously is, okay? So, all right, I've got about 30 seconds. We got to wrap, okay? So,
not a problem, Bill.
All right, and so should we pressure our county commission? Should we be writing our county commissioners? And what should we be doing?
In particular, I believe we should be writing Bob Strasser and Rick Dyer and try to convince them and to understanding the realities here that what they're doing in supporting this and not at least standing up. And I'm not saying let's create an environment where we have an infectious thing. There's another section of the Oregon public health thing. They can create a public health advisory, keep all of these things going. But the true reality is, statistically, are we in an emergency?
We are not. We are not in an emergency, Ed. We're not in an emergency here. We're just not.
The complete state of this emergency originally was not to overwhelm our healthcare system. And right now we are damaging our healthcare system because the hospitals are going broke, okay? So the reality is, what do we do? What we do is we educate ourselves. We learn, we read, and we start understanding.
And by the way, Dr. John Powell, what I was reading was from Dr. John Powell's letter to Governor Brown from his place of employment, Evergreen Family Medicine. I'm going to share more of that. And like I said, these are medical people that are saying what is being done is not working, A, and B, not needed. And so, Ed, I think it's wise to push back and put a little pressure on Commissioners Dyer and Strasser. I agree with you on that. And a little bit of a marching order there. Are the other counties still looking at this, or is this pretty much a fait accompli and everyone's following Jackson County lead or lack of lead, as the case may be?
The way that I look at it, Bill, is the original discussion on the letter that Jackson County, that the two commissioners opted out of, took place last Tuesday, okay? I think it was the Tuesday before, maybe, but I think it was last Tuesday. On Wednesday that they discussed, or no, it was the week before, on Tuesday, they discussed the letter. On Wednesday, after making her announcements the previous Friday, Governor Brown came back on air and said, we're looking at working with individual counties. Now, they didn't support the letter on Thursday, and magically, Governor Brown comes up with more restrictions. Now, think about it, okay? That's all. When you look at this, this is the power within that system. You're calling, you call out the falsity. And we have to look at the reality to it is, people cannot continue in this aspect of it and expect, what are you going to get, a free handout from the government? You're going to convert the system with your participation into a communist dictatorship? Is that what you want? The reality is we have a system that functions. That is a beautiful, most admired system in the history of the world, in all honesty. That's how I look at it. And these people are trying to remove the foundational stones of that, supporting anarchists in the street in our major cities, doing all of these things that are just so ridiculous. And all of these lawless people that are the anarchists, it doesn't matter that they're violating the mask restrictions or the COVID restrictions. They can do whatever they want, and then us as free citizens cause our businesses to get harmed because we're not wearing a mask and somebody reports them.
Yeah, enough of that. Hey, Ed.
Every bit of it.
All right, Ed, got to run. Thank you so much. Appreciate the take on it, because I know that you dig into these health laws, and you've been the one bringing forth the law to many of my listeners this morning and for many mornings past. And there is peace within the law. It's time to start following it, okay?
All right. Thank you, Bill, and thank you for allowing me to vent.
All right.
Thanks for the patience of your listeners.
Ed, once again, our community activist and a friend of the show, Mr. X, it's 8:34.
Hi, this is Harper.